I can only imagine. Hey, yes, I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes would see when your face is before me. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine to be surrounded by your glory. What would my heart feel? Would I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Would I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Would I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine, yeah, when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine to be surrounded by your glory. What would my heart feel? Would I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Would I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Would I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, can you only imagine to be surrounded by your glory? What would my heart feel? Would I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Would I stand in your presence? To my would I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? Can you only imagine? Yeah, can you only imagine? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Amen. The choir sounds fantastic. Amen. Hush, somebody's calling my name. The scripture lesson this morning will come from the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. And again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And a third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and he lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." May the Lord add a blessing to his holy word. Let us pray. Most gracious and wonderful Father, we come here today praising your name. We come here today thanking you, Lord, for allowing us to get up early this morning, Lord, and make it to service. We thank you, Lord, for putting one foot in front of the other and giving us a chance to walk into this house of worship. We ask, Lord, that those who are listening, Lord, be able to hear your voice. And those who need to see, Lord, see your visions you put in front of them. And those whose hearts that are softened, Lord, or hardened, Lord, we ask you to soften them that they might receive your word in their spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen. Amen. The sermon title this morning is called, "Are You Listening to Me?" I want you to turn to your neighbor as Kevin, Pastor Kevin James does. I can hardly give it out because I'm supposed to be saying Reverend Dr. James before he gets out. And I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "Are you listening to me?" Now, wives, I want you to turn to your husbands like you say every day and say, "Are you listening to me?" I see many husbands out there going, "Oh, boy, I know what this sermon is about." But sometimes Sister Bynum here, she turns to me and she says, "Are you listening to me?" And I say, "Yeah, I'm listening to you." She said, "You sure you're listening to me?" And I'm saying, "Yes, I'm listening to you. Are you sure that you're listening to me?" She says, "Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?" You know, sometimes we have a hard time hearing our spouses. She's giving me the eye right now. You know, that eye that you give your children when they're about to make some mistakes. But a few weeks ago, I was down in Daytona to see the race, the 500, the Daytona 500. And quite a few of my friends, they came out of New Jersey. It was about 30 of us. It was a big crowd of us. And we go down and we like to see the race. And it's very exciting down there. You know, all the crowds and the drama and the noise of the race. You could hear the cars. And it's so much noise. It's crazy. So we are on our way walking down International Speedway. And it's crowds of people. You can barely move. And there is this grandfather and his grandson in front of us, who's walking in front of us. And suddenly, we got in that area of Bahama Breeze. Do you know where that Bahama Breeze is? It's a nice restaurant. Got some good food in there. Got that good island food in there. And so we stop in that area, and there's people all around. There's people sitting outside eating. And this grandfather, he stops with his grandson, and he pulls him to the side, and he starts to listen. And the grandson is wondering what he's listening for. And so he reaches into the flowers that are out there, into the plants, and he pushes some aside, and there's some baby birds sitting in this plant. And the grandson says, "Papa," he goes, "how in the world did you hear those birds over all of the stuff that is going on, out of all the crowd noise and all the things that are going on? How did you hear those birds?" And his grandfather says, "It's you gotta truly, truly be listening, and you will hear things that you don't usually hear. All you have to do is stop and listen." So his grandson, he looked at him, he said, "Watch." So he reaches into his pocket, and all of us firemen are looking at him, and the crowd noise is still going on, and he throws up some coins, and they drop, and the crowd comes to a hush. People stop eating. The crowd stops from moving in the street. You know, it depends on what you're listening for, the grandfather says. You can hear it. You know, a lot of us can hear that sound of money. Oh, Lord, y'all know that tingle and that jingle. You have to be listening. Sometimes I think that there is so much noise on the street that we can't hear what's really going on. You know, we have so many distractions. We fail to hear most of the things that are going on in life. We've filled our lives with so much noise that it's difficult for us to hear anything anymore. All you have to do is think about all the distractions that are going on in your life on a daily basis. The TV is going, the radio is going, the phones are ringing. Sometimes all of this is happening at the same time. We should be listening for God. Are you listening to me? You should be. You should be listening for God. If you're truly honest about what you're listening for, you'll notice that you really aren't listening at all. I brought up in the last service that sometimes Yvette tells me what she's going to do, and I'm doing something, and I'm supposed to be listening. So she might say to me that, you know, she goes, "Reggie," she goes, "I got to run out to Publix real quick. I'm going to pick up some bread and some milk and some some things from the store. And I'm shaking my head, and I go, okay, you can, okay. She said, did you hear what I said? And I said, yeah, you said that you were going around to the church because you had to play the organ, and Kevin needs you to do something, and that's what you said. She said, you didn't hear a word that I said, did you? She said, are you listening to me? Sometimes when God is talking to us, we are not really listening. We're doing every kind of thing else but listening to what God wants us to do. Do you know that there are 73 Bible verses about listening? 73 of them. God really must have wanted us to hear something if he has that many verses that he put in the Bible. In James, it tells us in the first verse, in the first chapter, verse 19, it tells us that we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Have you ever been talking to somebody and they don't listen at all? All you do is you're having a conversation with them, and before you could get that last word out of your mouth, they starting to speak about something. They haven't heard a word you said. Listening to God, it proves that you are his child. It tells us that in the book of John, in the 8th chapter, it says, anyone whose father is God listens gladly to the words of God. And since you don't, it proves you are not his children. Listening to God makes us wise. Oh, I got a lot of wise folks in here today. Y'all done live long lives. I know you done did a lot of listening over your lifespan. But it tells us in the book of Matthew that anyone who listens to my teachings and obey me is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. See, listening to God gives us a solid foundation to build the rest of our lives upon. See, that's why a lot of you are here today, because you are good listeners. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us that listening to God keeps our hearts soft. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It tells us that about three times in Hebrews, in the third chapter, it says, today you must listen to his voice. Don't harden your hearts against him. It also says in the third chapter in verse 15, but never forget the warning. Today you must listen to his voice. Don't harden your hearts against him. And it tells you another time in the fourth chapter, today you must listen to his voice. Don't harden your hearts against him. See, listening to God, it protects us from those who wish to harm us. Listening to God, it keeps us from stumbling. And listening to God keeps us from drifting away. We live our lives on shaky grounds when we don't listen to God. Oh, Lord. We are unwise in our decisions when we don't listen to God. We stumble when we don't listen to God. I know this is a Methodist church, and there are not a lot of testimonies that go on here, but I'm going to testify to you this morning. Amen? I'm going to tell you a story this morning about myself. When I was a young man, much younger than I am now, much, much, much younger than I am now. I'm reflecting right now because I can remember when I was a young man when I did this. My hair used to move with it, you know. But when I was a young man in my 30s and raising my family and trying to move ahead in life, I had a good job as a fireman, but I needed something else to keep our finances up. So Yvette and I, we own some property with a lot of tenants in it. We own an apartment building with 21 units. And it was a struggle to keep that building going. The tenants always had to make sure that the rent was on time and 'cause we had bills and debts that we had to keep up with. But somewhere around the holiday times, all 21 of my tenants, they decide to tell me and to give me notice that we are not paying any rent until January 1st. Because you are a slumlord or anything, but we need the money for the holidays. That put a lot of pressure on Yvette and I. I mean, I had some great tenants, but I had to take some measures to protect ourselves. So I had to go to the courthouse and file. But the day that I had to go to the courthouse, the night before, I worked my 24-hour shift on the fire department. Now, that night, it was one of those nights on the fire department where we were running all over the place, and it was crazy. And the next morning, I had to get up and go to the courthouse. So because I own this apartment building, I had this nice utility truck. Oh, it was beautiful. It had compartments everywhere. It had tools and tape measures and wrenches and everything I needed to work on those buildings. And that was my everyday truck. And so I had left the fire department that night, and I decided to get in the truck and start down a big street that was similar to Palm Coast Parkway. It was always traffic on it. It was a lot of people on it. And I'm making my way toward downtown. And I'm thinking as I'm going, I had a rough night. And I'm going, Lord, I got to go down here and file all this stuff with all these tenants. And I said, Lord, I need some help right now. I need you to help me. But keep in mind, I was a young man. I wasn't in church all the time. Yvette was in church she's still in church every day. But she'd be there every day, and I would just send her off, just pray for me. But this time, I was headed down there to the courthouse, and I'm praying to God. And I'm saying, God, help me. I need some help right now. I don't know what to do. We're going to be out on the street if you don't help me. And as clear as I'm talking to you right now, as clear as you can hear my voice right now, a voice had come to me in the compartment of my truck, and it said, what have you done for me lately? It scared me. I stopped the truck, and my first thought wasn't that God was talking to me or I was getting a message. My first thought was, those firemen are messing with me. If you know anything about firemen, they love to do practical jokes. They love it. It's something that they like to do. Sometimes when I go in the firehouse, they would take my bed that I have to sleep in, and they would put it on Dixie cups and make the bed. And as soon as you get in the bed, boom, it would fall to the ground. So I knew that the fireman was messing with me. So I was still driving along, and I said, God, help me. And it said it again. What have you done for me lately? Now, I pulled the truck over to the side of the road, like Palm Coast Parkway. And I start to open all the compartment doors of this truck. I start to throw all of the equipment on the street looking for that radio, looking for that piece of a transmitter that these firemen were messing with me. So when I got the truck completely empty, here comes the sheriff department coming down the street. They didn't even stop because they knew the truck, but they just looked at me and just waved me on. at that moment, I realized that something had happened. Something miraculous had happened. And I started putting the things back in the truck, and I thought to myself, phew, God must have talked to me. I said, if you get me out of this problem that we have, I will do anything, anything for you. Lord, have mercy. The holidays went by without a hitch. The tenant still didn't pay me. But God made it so we made it through the holidays and made it so we could work things out. And it's the funniest thing about God. When you hear his voice and he touches you in that way, you will never forget it. I want to continue on with that story just a little bit. Those 21 units that we had, it got to be a much after a while, a bit much. And one day I said to myself, Lord, I've been trying to do what you said. I said, these buildings are a bit much and we are in a housing problem right now. I said, I need to unload these buildings, you know, because I think it's a little bit too much pressure for me. So I'm outside raking the yard of one of the buildings. And this little old man, he walks up to me and he says, do you know who owns this building? And he was a little guy. He just had on some jeans and some sneakers. And he says, and I say to him, well, I own this building. He goes, well, I'd like to buy this from you. I said, you're going to take all of them? He goes, yes. Within the next week or so, I had no more weight or no more pressure or no more debt. All of it had been lifted off of my shoulders. And I prayed and I thanked God. And I've been in church almost every day since, allowing him to move me and pick me up. So sometimes you need to hear somebody testify about their lives so you can relate to those testimonies. Lord, Samuel was just a boy, and the Lord started calling him. He was just a boy, and he didn't know exactly what to do. It's okay because God had a plan for him. He has a plan for you and he has a plan for me. So as we start to walk through this Lenten season, as we start to reflect on our lives and realize that God has been with us each and every step of the way, even when some of us was unchurched and out in the wilderness, God was still with us. So this morning, I just want to thank God for all his grace and all his glory. I want to thank God for sharing his voice with me. Sometimes you need to hear that voice through the noise. Sometimes. Some of us may think it's too quiet. Palm Coast is a quiet town. Boy, you could barely hear a pin drop in here now. And we come from New Jersey, where there's a lot of noise. A lot of noise. That you need the noise sometimes. And Yvette just sat down here, and she know I'm going to tell this story because I told it two other times this morning. But sometimes you can't get to sleep because you need that noise. Now, in my bedroom, I'm going to talk about my bedroom and my wife. Oh, Lord. But in my bedroom, there's a small fan. And this small fan is there not to give us air or to create a breeze or to do any of those things. This small fan is there to create a small noise so she can get to sleep. You know the noise a fan makes. And she goes to bed before I do. And I tell her that, you know, this fan, I can hear it. You know, sometimes when she's asleep and I want to cut that fan off, I've been doing this for, we've been here a few years now. This fan has been going for 5 years, nonstop. But I'll go into the bathroom, and we have this big mirror in the bathroom. And I like to practice making the sound of that fan. Sometimes I whisper in her ear like the small voice of God. And I reach over and I turn that fan off. But you must be listening to the voice of God, no matter how loud he shouts or how soft he speaks. Tune your ears. 1 Samuel tells us that God says that he will call you, and he will call you by name. Are you listening to me? And when he says, when he calls, you need to respond, "Yes, Lord. Your servant is listening." And then you need to say, "Here I am. What do you want me to do?"
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
He goes on.
I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts of love alone. I will speak my words to them. Whom shall I send? I have heard you calling me in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. And I will hold your people in my heart.
And he says, I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will send the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. A finest bread I will provide till their hearts are satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. If you go, Lord, just lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. Amen.